when we go through experiences of suffering, any particular kinds of dealings from the Lord, perhaps you're like me in not wanting it to be a wasted journey. My prayer as I support my friends who go through difficult times, my children, myself, is that, Lord, let your redemptive purpose be fulfilled out of this circumstance. Let it not be a wasted dealing. Now, how many of you are wise enough and lived long enough in the Lord to know that every now and then you're not perfect yet and He deals with you? We're just not all the way there yet. So upon occasion, He sprinkles a little dealing our way. Just a tailor-made situation for yourself, you know. And it doesn't matter. You feel like you're hitting the wall. I was that way a little bit earlier today, hitting the wall. It's not working until finally you stop and say, ha, you are in charge. You must be working something out in my life. And I don't get to be pious because I'm definitely not a good religious person here this morning. I need you. Anybody else feel like that? You're all looking at me like, boy, you're the only one, man. It sounds like God's really dealing with you, Kev. But, you know, the Lord does work with us, and His goal is to conform us to His image. He's not done until we look just like Him, till we sound like Him, till we think like Him, till we act like Him. And I can confess to you there's some distance yet to go in my life. But thank God He keeps working with us. There's that old song. How many of you remember that? Some of you, come on, old timers, you can raise your hands with me. Remember that old song? He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. It didn't take a week to make the moon and stars. Dum, dum, da, dum, da, dum, and Jupiter and Mars. A loving and patient He must be, bum, 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 because He's still working on me. Should have left that song back in 1978, huh? Anyway, time marches on, and the Lord works with us and deals with us and changes us, and that's a loving thing, and that's a good thing. We have a certain number of days allotted to our lives, given to us by the hand of a gracious God. And I want with all my heart to fulfill that purpose for which He called me. Don't you?
Yes.
God, in my days that I have, no matter how long or how short they may be, I want to live my life in such a way that brings You glory, that brings You honor, and that fulfills that which is why You apprehended me. You know, you're not here by accident. You know that, don't you? God got a hold of you. God grabbed you. And that's a good thing.
Yes.
And He said, honey, son, daughter, I've got a plan for you. Walk with me. And the adventure of life is doing that. Trying to figure it out sometimes and keep going step by step. I don't want a wasted dealing in my life. I want to be just like Him. And as the grace and gift of God, we need and want to do our part to fulfill His will. I want to refer just quickly to the greatest generation. You've heard a lot of talk about that in the last week and especially yesterday. But in America, the greatest generation, of course, the World War II generation, that's how they've come to be known. And it was 65 years ago yesterday, the anniversary of D-Day. Or yesterday was the anniversary of D-Day 65 years ago. Brave men came ashore at Normandy, France, and beaches named Utah, Gold, Juno, Sword, and Omaha became part of our language and part of the greatest invasion in history. June 6, 1944. Allied troops landed along a 50-mile stretch of heavily fortified French coastline to fight Nazi Germany on the beaches of Normandy, France. General Dwight D. Eisenhower called the operation a crusade in which we will, quote, accept nothing less than full victory. More than 5,000 ships and 13,000 aircraft supported the D-Day invasion. By the day's end, on June 6th, the Allies gained a foothold in Normandy. The D-Day cost was high. More than 9,000 Allied soldiers were killed or wounded in that one day's action. More than 100,000 soldiers began the march across Europe to defeat Hitler. I think of the Russian history where 45 million people, it seems to be, were killed in World War II. There are people who fought all across the world to destroy tyranny, that which Hitler was trying to foster off. In America, we honor our war dead, those who still live. And as I said a while ago, 900 to 1,000 World War II veterans are dying daily. We've come to know their stories of bravery and victory and also of suffering and hardship. Why do we mention that in church today? Why is that even an illustration? Some of the men and women were barely teenagers, and women who served in the military forces as well. Barely teenagers. And yet there was something that burned in their heart for the cause that was righteous. There was something that caused people to want to sign up, even as teenagers, prior to the age of military acceptability. They lied about their age so they could go fight the spirit of tyranny and do what God had called them, and if we want to put it in those terms, had put into their hearts to help free a world. Some of them went on to live glorious lives afterwards, some of them not so glorious. But this period of life in their lives was a period of tragic trauma and suffering, as it was for the people at home, their families waiting for them. Suffering for a goal, for a purpose. Do you understand that when Jesus allows suffering and difficulty in your life and mine, it's always with a purpose to be fulfilled in our lives? Matthew 5, verse 45, and Pat, I've got some overheads, if you would, please. Matthew 5, verse 45, read primarily from the New King James text. That's what I normally do this morning. I've got a few from the New King James, but I'll have a longer section from the King James this morning. Matthew 5, verse 45, "For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good. He sends rain on the just and on the unjust." If your perspective is the only people who suffer are bad people, that's not what the Bible says. Someone say amen. Because if you suffer, are you bad? Sometimes we wrestle with that, don't we? I must have done something wrong. Well, the Lord will be specific with you if you've done something wrong. He'll show you. But other than that, sometimes it's simply the dealings of life that help us learn and grow. But God intervenes in our lives. Let's watch and see what He can do. Neat section of Scripture this morning. If you'll turn to the book of Acts, chapter 9. The book of Acts, chapter 9. And I'm going to read the section 32 through 43. I'll take that phrase by phrase or verse by verse or section by section. Acts, chapter 9. I'm in the King James Version now. Reading beginning in verse 32. Say the first five words with me, would you please? And it came to... Say it one more time. And it came to pass. That's the title for this morning's message, by the way. And it came to pass, as Peter passed through all quarters, he came down to the saints which dwelt at... It looks like Lydda, and it's pronounced Luda. At Luda, and there he found a certain man named, and we normally would pronounce it Aeneas, and it's Aeneas. Can you say with me, Aeneas? Aeneas. They found a certain man named Aeneas, which had kept his bed 8 years, and was sick of the palsy. And Peter said to him, Aeneas, Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. Arise, and make thy bed. And he did what? He waited around. He waited for a better feeling to come. He waited for goosebumps. He waited for someone else to pick him up. No, he responded to the word of the Lord, didn't he? And he arose immediately. How soon?
Immediately.
And all that dwelt at Luda and Saron saw him and did what? Turned to the Lord. Now here's a believer named Aeneas, who although he believed in Jesus was ill, and he was ill for 8 years. How many want to whine with me? No fair! Okay, only two of you. How many ever feel like anything that goes on in your life like this is no fair? Only three of you. Okay. All right, let Pastor Kev do your whining for you this morning. No fair! A long illness, folks. Jesus was about 8 years too late for this guy. But better late than never, right? Lord, why do you allow this in my life? Come on, what's going on? I want this dealt with. I want this over with. I'm one of your covenant believers. And part of the covenant promise of the cross is healing power. So come on, get with it. Oh, please. 8 in the Bible is the number representing new beginnings. God's getting ready to do new beginnings in his life. Jesus is getting ready to explode into new beginnings. It just took 8 years to season. Now, Peter had to be obedient in following the Lord to get there, to discover that there was a need. Aeneas had to be obedient to show up. We talked about that just a couple of weeks ago. Sometimes what we need to do is say, let us go to the house of the Lord and just show up because God's going to do something special. I was glad when they said to me, let's go to the house of the Lord. Amen? Just show up. Sometimes it means a little boy just happens to carry his lunch and it feeds a multitude. How many of you understand that little boy didn't start off from home this morning going, I got the meal that heals. I got the meal that's going to feed a multitude. He just probably started off and saw a little bit of fun action. What are all the people doing? And took his lunch. Isn't that what a little boy would do? Go put a little snake down someone's robe, you know. Peter needed to simply speak the word here in Jesus' name. That's all he did. Aeneas responded immediately. And everyone saw the fruit. Many came to the Lord just because people showed up. And just because there was response. How about you this morning? Maybe I should ask you and ask the obvious question. Did you show up? I should hear every voice in the place. Yes, sir. We're here. And some of you are going, no, I'm not here yet. Are you allowing God to speak to your heart this morning? The Holy Spirit speaks to all of us, and he speaks a message to us that we need. And sometimes it's a little bit of a different message to you than it might be to me. What we give him room. We show up, we grow up, we come with our hearts open and say, okay, Lord, move by your Spirit, and the Holy Spirit speaks. What a miraculous thing it is to belong to Jesus, isn't it?
Yes.
Miraculous. Are you willing then, when he speaks to you, to respond immediately to what he shows you? Are you willing then to let the fruit of your life shine out to others? You've got to keep this thing quiet. You know, don't want anybody to think you're too radical. No, actually, we got a bunch of communities around here that need to know we're radical for Jesus, don't we? The miraculous healing of Aeneas, a paralytic who'd been bedridden for 8 years, was the occasion for many to come to faith in Christ. Reading from a section of the Bible Knowledge Commentary. 3 times in Acts, Luke uses the words, turn to the Lord, to refer to great salvation that was poured out. The gospel was beginning to attract a wider audience at this point. They were in a coastal region among the Gentiles, or close to the Gentiles. Sharon is a fertile plain along the coast of Palestine, about 10 miles wide and about 50 miles long. Luda was on the southeastern edge of the plain. This miracle was the second of Peter healing someone who was lame. Now, after 8 years in this gentleman's life, it came to pass. God's timing is perfect, even when we think he's late on the scene. Let's go on. Verse 36. Now, there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds, which she did. Say the phrase with me, please. And it came to pass in those days that she was sick and died, whom they had washed. Then they laid her in an upper chamber. And forasmuch as Luda was nigh to Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent unto him two men, desiring him that he would not delay to come to them. Then Peter arose and went with them. A couple of very simple perspectives from this section of Scripture. Number one, they had a hunger to see God move. Now, I want to ask you this morning, how many are hungry to see God move? I want to see God move in my life. I want to see God move in these communities. I want to see revival. We were talking about this morning before church started. Lord God, do your miracles today. We want to see you move. God is on the throne. He's alive and well. We want to see multitudes come to Christ. Pour out revival, O God. We pray and we pray and we pray. O God, pour out the Spirit of the living God. I'm not satisfied with yesterday's manna. I'm not satisfied with just living church. There's a whole lot of places we can go and just go to church on Sunday morning. I'm not trying to be critical of any place, but I want the Holy Spirit to move.
Yes.
Turn to each other and say, don't you? Come on, shake each other. Don't you want the Holy Spirit to shake you? Some of you go, I don't know if I want the Holy Spirit to shake me. I want God to move. I want it to be real in our lives. I want the Spirit of God to show us Jesus and open His Word and bring healing. You know, a couple of weeks ago we talked about the ark. I hope you understand clearly that I was talking about welcoming the presence of Jesus in our life. Not a box. A box in Israel that represented the presence of God. The most important thing is being saturated to overflowing with the presence of Jesus. Every pore of our being filled to overflowing with the Lord. How many want that? Let me see your show of hands. Oh God, let it be. So they had a hunger to see God move. They had a willingness to see the need and to see what it takes. And it takes Jesus to move, who's far bigger and wiser than we are. And it takes a willingness to call out to God and to His representatives, to His people for some help. They had to put some effort into it to go see Peter. Go find this guy. And then it took willingness for Peter and obedience for Peter to respond to the need. Again, note, suffering happens to the good as well as the bad. Difficulties don't just come because someone is bad. This gal was absolutely precious, precious to the church, important to the church, full of good works. She helped the poor. She had a servant's heart. She was a spirit of love and giving. Now, Joppa, let's go ahead and put the map up, Pat. Bottom right-hand corner, you'll see Joppa. You see it down here? Over by Jordan and Jerusalem. There you go. Thanks, Pat. Joppa is right there, right by Tel Aviv today. And Joppa sits about 125 feet above sea level, overlooking the Mediterranean Sea. Joppa was the town into which the cedars of Lebanon were floated to be shipped to Jerusalem, and they were used for the construction of the temple. Joppa was where the prophet Jonah had left the port of Joppa on his ill-fated trip. Remember when Jonah was running from God? It was from this port of Joppa. Now, when someone died in this culture, it was common to have them bury the corpse before sundown. That was crucial for their religion, as well as decay in the hot Mediterranean air, and all of that would take place. But the disciples in this case, now just note this, the disciples had only prepared her for burial, and then they laid her in an upstairs room. What they were making as a statement was, we believe God is going to do something. Go get Peter. We believe God's going to move. And we're going to put our faith and our actions together. Why didn't you bury this lady? She's starting to stink. God's going to do something. No ladies here, of course, stink this morning. I saw a few little laughter begin. And guys, don't you dare even think that. Now, ladies, you can think my guy's kind of stinks, but no. But they didn't do what was normal and customary because there was something burning in their spirit saying, we want to see Jesus move. We want to see God do something. Come on, Lord, do it. They cooperated with their faith. They didn't act contrary to the need for a miracle. They made themselves candidates for the moving of God. They saw the need, they sought help, and then they made things ready for their miracle. The church had not previously experienced miracles of this nature except through the hands of Jesus himself. Possibly and probably, the healing power that was expressed from Onaos through Peter at Luda had already reached Joppa. We want to see God do it here too. Come on, Lord. And they were hurting over this precious person to them who had passed. Now, Joppa is only 10 miles northwest of Luda. To go and find Peter and bring him back would have taken these two men probably 6 to 8 hours. Now, we don't think about it because, you know, 10 miles away, 15 minutes, whatever. It took them 6 to 8 hours just to find the guy. That's putting some effort to their faith. Someone say amen. Amen. Sometimes faith takes cooperative effort. I said sometimes faith takes cooperative effort. How many times have you heard people say, well, if God wants me to have this, he'll just give it to me. So I'm not going to do anything. Baptism in the Holy Spirit. God wants me to have it, he'll make my mouth call. If God wants me to have it, he'll do it. If God wants me to be healed, he'll heal me. Do you understand that God asks us to cooperate with the miracle? God asks us to be receptive and have faith. God asks us to step forward and ask. Ask that you shall receive. Well, don't you know that God already knows what you need before you ask it? But God is saying, come on, open your mouth, cooperate with me, get involved with me, because when you talk with me, you're involved with me, and I'm going to come move and do something. I'm going to shake you out and do something for you. We have to cooperate with God. So turn to each other and say, you better start cooperating. It takes cooperative effort. It's not that God's going to force it on me. The Bible clearly teaches we have to cooperate. If you need help, church, right. Preach it, Pastor Sherry. And in closing, the second part of the message is from Pastor Sherry. We make room here. Painted gal. Woo! That table was alive over there. Did you see the flames over there? You know, the reason why I'm even talking about this is because, honestly, sometimes we won't admit our own need. And verbalizing the need and speaking it and requesting help is part of humbling ourselves. It's also part of getting involved in the process of asking God to move with a miracle. Amen. When you invite Jesus into your life, you don't just give it a mental assent. Okay, I'm going to sit here. Oh, he jumped in. No, I surrender my life to him. I invite him to come into my heart, to be my Lord and Savior, to live on the throne of my heart. We cooperate with the miracle. God's not going to force a miracle on you. You know, one of the best illustrations to use is, maybe you're like me. You ever walk around going, ah, wish I'd win the lottery. Thou shalt not covet. A 23-year-old kid won $232 million. I wish I'd win the lottery. And you could just hear Jesus from his throne saying, well, stupid kid, you got to buy a ticket. I am not defending the lottery. I'm not telling you to run up by the lottery, but that's the way we are in our lives sometimes. Oh, how I wish I had this. Well, why don't you do what you need to do for it? Okay. But I just want you to do it, Lord. Just jump into my lap with $1 million. That'd be sweet. Yeah. Let's see, I'm out of relatives who could pass something on. I just personally, and many of you know, made a move in my life in order to cooperate with God for what I hope and am believing for is a fresh move of God in a certain area of my life. I had to respond to what Jesus told me to do. And many of you were absolutely wonderful gifts of God to help me, and I'm eternally grateful. By the way, I understand there are people that saw that gifting unfold and couldn't understand why people were helping. What are you going to get out of it, was the question. Well, what we get out of it is helping one another in the body of Christ. But what I'm saying is a simple illustration in my own life that I have to take my own steps to position myself for God to do what His next step is in my life. Once he was located, Peter, and presented with the need in Joppa, he returned with them. So Peter, again, had to be willing to go with them. And the text indicates, and the Greek tenor of the words indicate, they went with real haste. So all this could be accomplished. Peter was immediately ushered into the upstairs room, where he met a group of mourning widows. Clearly, the death of this woman was a real major blow to the church at Joppa. And when he was come, they brought him to the upper chamber. All the widows stood by him weeping. And if you've ever seen the Middle Eastern perspective of weeping and wailing and mourning, you know it was a loud thing. No wonder Peter put him out of the room. But they showed the coats and the garments that Dorcas had made while she was with them. She was loved and appreciated. She gave. Her life was fruitful in church. How many can agree with me that whether or not she was ever resurrected here, her life had already been fruitful before God? She had given love and life away to other people. She served the poor. She was a precious woman before the Lord. But let's see what Jesus does, beginning in verse 40. But Peter put them all forth, and he kneeled down and prayed, and turning him to the body, said, I'm reading from King James, Tabitha, say it with me, arise. She opened her eyes. When she saw Peter, she sat up, and he gave her his hand and lifted her up, and when he had called the saints and widows, presented her alive. Now, the beauty of the scripture here is it reads simply like the unfolding of a very plain story. It doesn't say, and he stood up, raised his hands like Moses, the water parted, and lightning came from heaven. And I think it's better this way, because just like in the natural day-by-day life you and I live, God wants to move. Jesus wants to do something. Simple. We don't see struggle and striving on Peter's part. We see faith. He simply kneels down and prays. Simple praying faith. Simple instruction. Arise. There is a full belief here that God is the author and the finisher of our faith. And today was time for Tabitha to be alive. God wasn't finished with her yet. How many can say, amen, you're glad God's not finished with you yet? I'm still here. Thank you, Jesus. He's not done with me yet. One was sick for 8 years. Come on, Lord, that seems like 8 years too long. We don't know how long this woman was sick, but you let her die. All we know is she was vital to the church. She was loved and fruitful. And again, even if she hadn't been raised from the dead, she'd lived the beauty of Jesus. And Jesus had something powerful yet to accomplish through her life. Now, I don't recall anywhere in Scripture where we go on to find out what it was that she went on to do. But I'll bet you it was even more passionately and powerfully more of the same. The presence of the Lord simply moving through a daughter of the Lord. Verse 42. Look what God wanted to accomplish. And it was known throughout all Joppa, and many, and how many? We don't know how many. Many believed in the Lord. Folks, miracles attest to the presence of Jesus. Miracles help attract attention of people to Jesus. Letting Jesus move in your life attracts others to the Lord. People are watching you. They're watching your faith. They're watching your actions. They're listening to your words. They're responding to the thoughts that you have. And even if they don't acknowledge it, they're responding or watching how you respond to what God does in your life every day. Let's show them Jesus. Let's show them Jesus, who's freshly involved and moving in my life fresh. What'd you do, Kev, to qualify for the miracle? Well, I just got up, thanked God, knelt down, prayed, gave Him my day, and walked and asked Him to intervene. Our first two, and it came to pass. Illness and death did not come to stay. They came to pass. Say it with me. It came to pass. Your suffering isn't coming to stay. It came to pass. Your difficulty isn't coming to stay. It came to pass. Your frustration isn't coming to stay. Say it with me and boom it out. It came to pass. The dealings of God, if you respond to Him, it may go on for a while. If you respond to Him, it's not your permanent lifestyle. It came to pass. And He can do something redemptively through it all. Oh, yeah. And one other little point. Verse 43. Read it with me, would you? And it came to pass that he tarried many days in Joppa with one Simon, a tanner. Now, Peter's obedience goes beyond what a good Jew was supposed to do. Now, he goes to a tanner. Say, look at each other and say, what's a tanner? Well, what's a tanner? Are you tanner than me? Yeah, most everybody in the room is tanner than me. It doesn't matter how much I try. I just get redder, you get tanner. A tanner was a worker in leather goods, worked with hides, killed animals, butchered animals, used their hides to make garments. In Israel, he was unclean. He was unclean. Say it with me again. He was unclean. Peter wasn't supposed to have anything to do with this guy as a good Jew. But Peter keeps doing what the Spirit guides him to do. And doesn't matter what tradition says. What matters is what is God saying to do. It's got to be according to the Word. But Peter stayed for a long time in the home of Simon the tanner. Now I want you to feel with me, if you would, what did Simon the tanner probably feel for all his years? People think I stink. People think I'm unclean. People don't like what I do. They just like to wear what I do. I feel used. But the religious people probably never stepped foot under his roof. Maybe a sense of rejection, hurt, anguish, never quite good enough. And what did Peter do? Brought the presence of Jesus right into this man's home. Brought the presence of Jesus right into this man's home. And stayed there for a long time. And it didn't matter if religious people didn't like it. What mattered is that Jesus was moving. Miracles were accomplished as Simon stayed and Peter stayed at the home of Simon the tanner. Now, when we were in Israel, this is just a bit of an aside. When we were in Israel, we were in Joppa, just about a half a block from the home that they believe was Simon the Tanner's home. And we, it was probably an angelic visitation. Probably was an angelic visitation. We were worshiping the Lord, talking about the Lord, and all of a sudden this man shows up and starts talking about Simon the Tanner and Peter being in his house. And when he departed, he walked right down the stairs, or right down to the block, or right into the house, closed the door behind him, and we never saw him again. Now, it was just kind of wild. Might have just been the man who now stayed there and lived at his house. But he really had a special sense of the presence of God on him. The whole point being, consider what Simon must have felt. Consider how Peter felt as he went against the flow of what was tradition to move into the presence of Jesus, who is alive and well and moving in people's lives. Peter had a goal to help build the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven, to help birth an early church, and to teach that church, if you want the presence of Jesus, you've got to obey Jesus. You've got to go where He wants you to go. You've got to do what He wants you to do. You've got to say what He wants you to say, and you've got to let Him work with you all the while. If we want to cooperate with God's miracles, sometimes we have to get out of our comfort zone to do it. And it came to pass. Simon's shame, Tabitha's death, Ainos's illness. How about your trouble today? How about your suffering? How about your need? Are you tempted sometimes to think that Jesus forgot you when the 8-year ordeal gets on about 7.5 years or 7.75? Or maybe you're like me about 2 days in. Psalm 30, verse 5. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Matthew 24, verse 13. But he who endures, and out of the NIV, stands firm to the end, shall be saved. Now look at Peter's words, who was responding to Jesus in all of this. And he writes this, chapter 5, verse 10 of 1 Peter, May the God of all grace, who called us to His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Now there's another verse I don't have written out, and you've all heard it. Remember where we comfort others with the comfort that we have been comforted with? You're never just going through your experience for yourself alone. When it's redemptively ministered by Jesus and you respond to Him, you watch. There'll be someone else following behind you in this faith journey who needs what you learned from Jesus along the way. I started with speaking about Normandy and World War II veterans because it was a picture to me of the suffering that they went through to give us a life of freedom and the benefit that came. So a final story I want to tell you that you probably heard about on the news. It was a very gravely ill veteran from World War II who was in his final days. Nevertheless, for the 65th anniversary, and the reason they celebrated the 65th anniversary and didn't wait for the big celebration on the 70th is that many of the veterans probably will not be here on the 70th. With all the pain and all the difficulty affecting his body, he gathered his energy and his strength, and he made his journey to Normandy. The day before the celebration, on the 5th, just a couple of days ago, he went to the World War II Museum there and saw the crosses, saw the spot where he had been one of the thousands to take the beach. Was moved in his memory. And he did it as an honorable thing so we can be sitting here as we are this morning. One man among teeming thousands of men and women. He never made it to the celebration of D-Day because that night he passed away in his sleep. And it came to pass. His suffering was over. The suffering endured for a time to give a lifetime of freedom. Elaine, would you come, please? The suffering that you endure will endure for a time, but builds character and perseverance, the presence of Jesus, and teaches us how to pray and how to endure and stand strong. But please remember, above all, and it came to pass. Let's stand. Maybe you're here this morning and you are uniquely facing a situation or a circumstance in your life that is very painful and challenging, and you wonder, is God really aware of what I'm going through? The answer to your question this morning is yes. He knows you. The number of hairs on your head, or lack thereof, He knows you. And He cares for you. So what is He asking of you and me today? Trust and obey. And keep walking with Him. Father, we thank You for this time together this morning. We thank You that You are indeed in charge. And it came to pass. Lord, make the dealings in our life go quickly, please. But also make them redemptive. So there's no thing that's wasted, but that we're conformed to Your image. More like You than ever before. Bless these precious people who've come here this morning. Give them strength in the journey, because they can make it. This trial they're going through, God's going to show them just what to do. It'll not last too long. But You're in charge. We thank You for it, Lord. And all the people said, amen. If you're here this morning, you've never given your life to Jesus, I urge you to do so. Come on up afterwards. We'll pray with you if you've not actually tangibly surrendered to Him. If you need healing in your body, the Lord does bring healing power. And we'll gather together and pray with you for healing. And if you want to just take time up here or these chairs up here to pray and seal in whatever the Lord's spoken to you, you're most welcome to do that. God bless you. Thanks for coming. And you're welcome here every time, anytime, anytime.